We've got a lot done today. It's been a great day. And I want to get this message, Romans chapter 12. We're going to talk about how to get along with others. How to get along with others. And Romans 12. And we're going to read some verses here. And then we got a lot of verses from a lot of places. Just to give you a heads up, I have way too much stuff to get into. And some things I've taught them before, so I'm going to breeze over them. But I think if I'm teaching how to get along, I should at least hit them because you might not have been here for the message. But then I want to focus on about 4 points that are really the ones that I want to hit. And so how to get along with others and Romans chapter 12. And let's go ahead and pray, then we'll start the passage. Father, thank you for the chance to read your word. Thank you for the privilege of preaching the Bible. And I pray that tonight we would be melted if this is our issue. And I pray all of us struggle sometimes, that you'd give us your mind on this. Lord, your mind on this is so different from the world's. Lord, it is one of those things that's diametrically opposed. And we've got to be transformed in our thinking, Lord. So I pray you'd help us. I pray that thy spirit would speak, and I pray you'd show us how you get along with us and how we ought to be. Speak to us now. May every truth be powerful and helpful to us. And Lord, whatever our weakness in getting along with others might be, I pray that you reveal it to us. And Lord, I pray you just make worldly thinking and worldly failures in this that we think are right, because you've heard it so many times, would glow in neon of wrong, and that we would know that we've got to change something. Speak now, and may we hear in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Just a few thoughts out of this passage. First of all, don't return evil, but bless. It's pretty simple. Verse 14, "Bless them as persecute you, bless and curse not." Verse 17, "Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place in wrath." So it says real clearly, do not return evil that's put upon you. We have been told, if someone does this, then I'm not going to stand for that. I'm going to do this. And you're going to blast them back. You're going to tell them off back. You're going to get revenge back. You're going to say the same things back. That is worldly, ungodly thinking. God says, bless those that curse you. Sin walks up and says, you're a blankety blank, 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 blank. You bless them back, the Bible says. And that's what the Bible says. That's just the command. Number two, be of the same mind. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. I love to preach on that. But condescend to men of low estate. Everybody, because of pride, wants to act like they know everything. Okay, it doesn't matter if they do; they just want to act like it. If you're talking about a subject and they don't know about it, they'll act like they know. And if they find a subject that everybody else might not know about, but they can drop that they know about it, or they can drop names, people like to ascend for pride's sake. The Bible says to the opposite: condescend to men of low estate. That means you go down. What we want to do is go up so people will look up to us, but God says go down. Condescend means go down. If you are maybe smarter, better educated, maybe had better opportunities, maybe have messed up your life to like somebody else, listen to me, and you're all snobby because you're not as dumb as them and you haven't messed up your life like them, you haven't been as foolish as them, you're in for a fall, first of all. But secondly, you were supposed to condescend to them. You know, you would be shocked, the people who come here over the years who are rough. I say rough. I don't say rough lightly. Who think that I'm one of them. Why? Because I don't talk like I don't know what they're talking about. Oh, I can't. You do what? I never say that to anybody. Ever. Sometimes I'll think that. But I'm trying to get to their level. Now, I'm college educated and all that stuff. I could talk about this, and I'm well read, and I could do this and talk about how I know these things. Listen, every one of us is as dumb as a post in some areas. You just get talking too smart, and you'll watch out. Life will real quickly remind you of who you are and what you don't know. You'll be saying, I see everything on this side and get whacked from this side. That's what life does to you. Condescend men of low estate. Do not be high-minded. Don't act all high and mighty and better than anybody else. If you're better than somebody else, it's by the grace of God. And if you're better because of your character, check and see if maybe you didn't grow up in the same home they did. You grew up in their home, you might have their character. Okay? I grew up in one of those homes and had no character. It's easy for me to understand that, okay? But having come out of that and having had to gain enough character to pass and stuff, I don't want to forget that I was a person who was a very low character, got fired from my first two jobs, who couldn't get up in the morning, couldn't go to school, who was lazy, who did all kinds of bad things, who always took the easiest route in life, and I don't want to forget that. Doesn't mean I want to go there, and I'm not going to live there. But I want to understand and condescend and go and say, I know what it's like. People who think they're high and mighty never can reach people. All they do is go around other high and mighty people, but they don't help each other. All they do is one-up each other all the time. They don't make any difference in anybody's lives because they don't condescend. Way too long on that. Be of the same mind. That means you try to think like them. Try to be in harmony and unity with people. Next, as much as you can, live peaceably with everyone. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The Kleins are missionaries of the month. There was someone who criticized them in one of their prayer letters. They were talking about how someone went to the false doctrine and started attacking them. And all the people in town said, there must be something wrong with you if you don't get along with them. That's what the people who weren't part of his church, but just the community said. There's something, must be something wrong with you if you're not getting along with them. And I want to say this. It does not say get along with everybody. That is not possible. Jesus couldn't do it. Okay? Jesus could not get along with everybody. It says, if it be possible, okay, there is a little caveat there, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men, everybody. So you're going to give it every possible way you possibly can to get along with people. I want to say, having experienced it, you cannot get along with everybody. There are people who are un-get-along-withable. Okay, they just are. That's you can try, you can climb, you can twist, you can turn, you can give, you can be nice. They're gonna find something to fight about. There are people who like drama and contention, and that just happens. And so the Bible says but having said that, don't say I can't get along with them. Say, if it be possible, as much as lies within you. That means you're gonna do everything you had. That means if I said I will give you $10 million if you'll get along with them this year. And you'd say, I can't. As hard as I try, I can't. Then it's okay. But if you say, well, I can't get along with them. They're impossible. Well, okay, for $10 million, I could. Then you're not doing all that lies in you. You follow? I mean, you got to make every effort you can. Okay? But it does not mean you will. But you give it a shot. That is the goal, to live peaceably with everybody. I think if you get good at that and do that, you will find you very rarely have people who you fight with. Very rarely. But there will be occasionally people, usually because of your stance. Next, bless those who do wrong. Verse 14, bless them as persecute you, and bless and curse not. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Let me say coals of fire. I don't have time. Coals of fire are not always bad. Coals of fire purified. Isaiah's tongue. Coals of fire in Malachi chapter 3. They purify. They're the refiner's fire. And I don't think it makes them miserable and terrible, but it's going to purify them and change them. and I can't get into that. It's a whole message. I don't have time. So how do we do that? As much as lies in me, how are we supposed to be live peaceably with all men? Let me take you to some other verses on this. 1 Thessalonians, and again, I'm going to turn to a lot of verses, so you don't have to turn to all of them. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read quickly, because again, I have too much here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13. And to esteem them very highly for their love, in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Now, so how do I do that? How do I get along with people? How do I live without contention? First of all, you got to remove pride. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, only by pride comes contention. You'll find if you can say these words, okay, you're smarter than me. Okay, you're tougher than me. Okay, you know more than me. Okay, that's fine. If you can get rid of your pride where you don't have to win anymore, you don't have to fight. Only by pride comes contention. That gets rid. Now, doesn't mean there won't be 50% pride on one side, and doesn't mean you can't do that. But when you get rid of your side, and there are situations where you cannot allow someone to run over you. You're the authority. You're the parent. You're the whatever. You get situations. But and if you're a strong person of character, they will know that and they'll quit trying to run over you when you stand for right and you do the right thing. But you have got to get rid of your pride. Pride, the bad pride that we have. Next, look to overcome. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's say you have someone and they just hate your guts and they are just trying to push your buttons. Every day they come to work and they just are trying to find little ways to bother you just to have contention. When you give in and let them make you mad, they have conquered you and they are in control. Do not be overcome with evil, but you overcome evil with good. You outbless their cursing. You outbless their evil. You do not get conquered. You decide to overcome. Well, I just don't want to be nice to them. That's welcome to earth. I mean, not everybody wants to be nice to everybody. But you have to overcome evil with good. You do good things for them. You've got to conquer in this way. You've got to overcome them. You've got to overcome the sin. You've got to overcome the spiritual battle. You've got to minister to them. Jesus was being mocked by the thieves on the cross, but he continued to love and pray for forgiveness and be kind and stay close to God. And pretty soon, one of those thieves, who he could have cursed and got angry back at and done whatever he wanted, was getting saved. You're overcoming. See, Satan has a foothold in their life if they're contentious. Satan has a place in their life because they have some kind of bitterness and wound in them. And you have been the one who are going to have the opportunity to show the love of God. And you're not going to give in. And you're going to overcome the evil that's in them. And you are going to reach them. And they're going to be changed because you are the only one who they're mean enough to really show the love of God. Amen. What an opportunity you have. You have to overcome their evil with good. You have the opportunity to transform them, reach them, make the thief on the cross said, will you remember me when you come to your kingdom? Why? He saw something in Jesus' kindness and love to those who are crucifying him. He's hanging on a cross. And they weren't good people around him. They were being, he was innocent, but they weren't. But he was kind and loving and compassionate to them. He overcame their evil with the good. You've got to decide to overcome instead of being a victim to their meanness. Number two, love people where they are. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lots of Bible examples of this. Jesus with the woman caught in adultery. There she was. I mean, caught in the act of adultery and drug immediately to the synagogue. I mean, she was in adultery 5-10 minutes before. Okay? Woman at the well? How about her? Five husbands living with another man. And she's at the well. She's in that state there where she is. But listen, if somebody's sitting there on the side of the road and they aren't going anywhere and they're hopeless and they're going to die out there on the side of the road, I want to take them with me. I do not grab them while I'm driving by at 60 miles per hour. Okay, you don't do that. You got to take people where they are. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. Get used to it, folks. We're going to have people come to our church who are all messed up and have all kinds of issues. And most of the time, you don't need to tell me. I'm already involved in it, okay? I already know. They smell like this. They did this. They do this. They were doing this week. You saw them here. This. Listen, we reach sinners. Messed up people. Sinners are messed up. Okay, I was messed up. I wonder how many people, if you would have met me when I first came to church, you would have said, that guy shouldn't be here. You talk about not knowing how to act in church. We were bad. We didn't know. We had so much baggage you could fill a 747 without any passengers. And you go and you take people where they are. You love them with their faults. You don't love them because they don't have faults. Did God love you even though you had some sins? You got to take people where they are. It's a strange thing. Most people are compassionate for people who have the same sins as they do, but they look down on people who don't have the same sins as they do. See, if you're a person who's very diligent and you meet a lazy person, you cannot deal with lazy people. If you're a person who has, but if you're a drug addict, you love drugs, you understand, you care about them, but lazy people, I can't put up with them. Okay? If you're a person who struggles with bitterness, okay, you understand when they gossip back and forth, no big deal, but I can't believe they look down on people at church and think they're better than people. I'm not going to talk to them. Why? You're a gossip and they look down on people. They're both sins, right? We tend to have compassion on people with parallel sins to us and look down on anybody who has sins that we don't do because we don't do them, so we're better than them. Maybe they could do the same thing to you, right? Amen. It's good stuff. Love people where they are. You take them where they are. I've seen many people who mean well go to their relatives and just blast them out of the water. And listen, we've been taking strong stands. We preach on everything, and we stomp and throw a fit and preach and yell and scream and tell us, I don't do this and that, and give you the Holy Spirit and Holy Spit when I'm preaching up here and give you everything, and we let you have it, okay? But you don't need to go to your relative who goes and has some issue or two, and you know they do, and it bothers you. But listen, you got to start off by letting them know you love them. You'll never get their heart to reach them if you start off not taking them where they are and loving them. You must let them know you love them, accept them. God commendeth, they demonstrate his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners. You got to take people where they are. Doesn't mean you're not going to take a stand. But Jesus didn't go around and reject the woman caught in adultery. She deserved capital punishment at the time, but he had compassion on her, just like he did many people, and he took them where they are. And then he said, "Go and sin no more." But did he get there? Did he accept them and love them first? Yeah. You got to take people where they are, and you got to do that. So do that. Next, 3, stay humble. Oh, I got a lot of verses on this. Stay humble. And I'm going to go to Proverbs 25. It's a strange verse to use this, but it's applicable. And then I'm going to get a lot of the verses. Proverbs 25 and verse 7. It says this. It says, "For it is better," verse 6, "put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better is it to be said unto thee, come up hither, than thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen." So you want to be careful. Now, so what does it mean to stay humble? First of all, you don't just lift yourself up that you're better than other people and put yourself up. You start off low. And if somebody asks you to move up, you move up. We start off with, I have a right to do this and I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to take that. We start off with putting ourselves that we deserve everything. You and I deserve hell. If you have a good day, you're on bonus time. Oh, we'll act real old. Ready? You got an extra ball in pinball. Okay? You go and realize you are nothing but a hunk of clay that's got life, that has life breathed into it. And you're lucky it is that the Lord's mercies were not consumed. You don't sit there and say, am I deserve that? You and I shouldn't be this and you did that. Stop. Stay humble. Remember to fix your own faults before you can fix anybody else's faults. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3 through 5. Remember to fix your own faults. So there's a way of thinking here that makes it so that you aren't haughty and you aren't arrogant and you aren't hating people and wanting to put them down because you don't think you're better than them. Matthew 7, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold the beam that is in thine old eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. First, how are you doing? The Bible says Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says that each esteem other better than themselves. You say, they are not better than me. Okay, listen. Let me just teach you something about me. Okay, this is me. I don't know of one person on earth that I know of more of their sins than I know of my own. Okay, you know how many sins of mine I know of that I don't care to pull back up and remember? I don't know anybody who has more sins than I know about it myself. I could just assume maybe they're not as bad as I've been. You know what I'm saying? Do you know I know they do this and it drives you crazy and they do this and they do this and they shouldn't do this and it's terrible and it's bad and it's rotten and it's filthy and it's sinful. I understand that. It is, but are you... Do you need to be reminded of yourself? I've known myself my whole life. And so, that was funny. And I've known myself my whole life. I know what I did when I was five. I was bad by the time I was five. I was bad by the time I was 10. Don't talk about my junior high years. Those never happened. I was never in junior high, trust me. 7th, 8th, 9th grade, I just skipped those, and nothing happened there. And listen, I know, and by the way, they get a pass, they have no brain during that period. But I know the sins I've done since I've known better and known the Bible. I need to stay humble and not say, I can't believe you. I can believe pretty much any human doing anything. I wouldn't ask this, but how many of you ever thought, I'd like to kill them? Don't raise your hands. You scare me. But we all, you know, anyway, I'm dismissing the service and Matthew's going to finish. Listen, we've all thought some things and done some things that we wouldn't want put in the projector tonight, right? So quit being so haughty and looking down on people, and quit being so, I deserve this and I deserve this and I deserve this. I deserve for God to make me into Cocoa Krispies. Okay, that's what I deserve. Maybe you're better than me, okay? But I deserve to be Krispy Critter, okay? That's what I deserve. And so, stay humble. Expect to get the mercy from God that you give. The Bible says that. And we'll turn to Luke chapter 6. We could also, there, me and Matthew where we are, but I thought we'd turn a different one. Luke 6. Expect the mercy from God that you give out. Luke 6 and verse 35. But love your enemies and do good to them, all those things. Verse 36, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. You get back at you what you give, and you say, well, I just can't forgive them. Then God will do that to you. You've got to be humble and realize God has been good and merciful and forgiving to me. I've got to extend that to them. And I've got to have that. It makes it much easier to get along. When people don't like proud people. Remember how God is towards you. Remember how much you've offended God. Paul, no wonder Paul still called himself the chief of sinners, though he's the greatest apostle. That's where he remembered who he was. Let me just give some other things. Next, don't covet. Don't covet. You say, what does that have to do with getting along with people? It's really simple. There's this part of people that's kind of strange. There is this part of people who get, if you want to get along with people, they get angry and have contention because they think they got it and I didn't. Okay? Now, they get bitter about it. Thou shalt not covet. Coveting is wanting something that is not yours. Jealousy is, it's something is yours. Jealousy is not a sin. God is a jealous God, but God does not covet. Okay? So, what a strange thing is we get angry and we have contention with people because we covet what they have. Well, they don't deserve that. I'm better than them. I did this and this and this, and look what I have in life. Look what happened to my life. And you're coveting them. Okay? Let me illustrate this. This right here is a blessing from God. This is called Lindor candy. Let me tell you, in heaven, they will eat these things right here. Okay? The Wongs gave us these, gave us. I think they handed it to my wife, but we're one in the Lord. And and these candies. Now, I love these things. There's something about them, the outside's kind of hard, but the inside's kind of soft. These are the best candy on the planet. And I am going to eat this right now, right in front of you. No sharing. Oh, yeah, I'll share. Want some? Mmm. That's a peanut butter one. Mmm. So, my lunch break. How come Pastor gets that candy? How come I don't get it? You should not. Okay, ready? You ready? When you're a good Christian, you ready? Well, that's good. When you're a good Christian, what you say is, I love my neighbor as myself, and I'm glad Pastor got a good piece of candy. Amen. You laugh. Okay? We aren't there yet. What our nature is how come he gets to eat candy during the service? How come he got a candy? How come the Wongs gave their family one of those? I obviously need to gain weight. I'm too skinny. They were thinking of us. But you know what? Me getting that candy, if you have the Bible mindset, if you have the Bible mindset, you would say, I'm glad you got that, and not covet it. But we tend to say, you got a nice car? I work hard too, and look at my car. My car, like, this car. And you start getting resentful. You start getting bitter. How come she got him? You know what? She's nasty. He shouldn't get her. Why you covet? She don't like people who have good things. And you sit there and ask for my candy. My candy. It's mine. No, I'm kidding. And why? When you covet, you forget you don't deserve anything. Amen. I deserve better than this. And it's all the mindset of no humility. You don't covet. Next, forgive completely. Got a lot of verses on this. Ephesians 4:32. I'm not going to go to all these verses, but Ephesians 4:32. You can write down Colossians 3:13 too if you want. If you're writing down verses. Anybody else have any yummy candy you want me to illustrate this with? Ephesians 4 and verse 32, it says, be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God's forgiven us completely, and let's just move on. Next, you just got to forgive people. And that's how you get along with them, is not hold things against them. These are all things that are necessary. Let me jump in. Let me jump to things I really want to get to here. Next, don't act like it's all about you. Biggest thing I want to say. Do not act like everything's all about you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And 1 Corinthians 9. This is where people do not get along with people most often because they think it's all about them. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Why? He's thinking about ministry, helping people. Instead of what are they? How are they treating me? He's saying, how can I help them? And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law unto God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. This I do for the gospel's sake. Paul says, it is not about me. I will become whatever they need me to be to reach them. If they need someone to feel this way, if they need someone to act like this, if they need someone to relate to them in this way, listen, if you're selfish, you'll demand the conversation about what you want to talk about. I want to talk about politics. I want to talk about food. I want to talk about sports. And you will just run everybody around because you want to talk about this. Because it's all about you. When you want to be kind and serve and help them and be a blessing to them, if they want to talk about sports, you talk about sports. Why? Because the Bible never says, thou shalt not talk about this. If they want to talk about ties, you talk about ties. If they want to talk about hair and hairstyles, you say, I prefer mine short. I like my hairstyle shiny. And so you go and you talk about what they, why? Because it's not about you. And pretty soon when you start relating to them and being kind to them and think about what will make them happy, they give their heart to you, and now you can take their heart and influence them for the gospel. Amen. Because it's not about you and what you feel like talking about and what you like so much. If they want the room warm, live with it. Amen. If they want the room cold, you say, that's fine, and you go get a coat. Take a niacin. It's not about you. The world does not revolve around you trying to make every one of your preferences met. You should look not every man in the things of himself, we'll read in a minute in Philippians, but every man also in the things of others. Don't act like it's all about you. The verse I just quoted, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. If you want to get along with people, realize it's not all about you. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. You have to do this in marriage if you want to have a happy marriage. She wants to talk? Okay, let's talk. He wants to go and kiss and smooch? Let's smooch. You find out what the other person wants. I want to get married so I can have someone to cook breakfast in bed. Good luck, buddy. She might spill it when she breaks it to bed. Just be ready. And it's not all about you. Jesus did not come and live for himself. He lived for you. You've got to be of a mindset. It isn't all about you if you want to get along with people. Be a servant of other people. Romans 15 and verse 3 says this, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them, the reproach thee, fell on me. Christ pleased not himself. Next, these are the big things I want to dwell on. Don't dwell, choose what is good to think on. Dwelling is an accidental thing where you just end up in the wrong spot. Philippians chapter 4 tells you what to think on. Do not dwell. Bitter people, people who are angry all the time, are people who dwell on things. Philippians and chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We have this excessive compulsive culture that cannot stop thinking about certain things, and they dwell on it. That light switch right there is flicked the wrong way. This thing is crooked. This plant is taller than this plant. Oh. And people just... That person there has wiped their nose 47 times, 48 during the service. 49! Oh, I can't, they just keep wiping their nose. I can't. Look at that. Look at that. You know why? Because you have no mind control. You can't stop dwelling on something you don't like instead of thinking on good things. They keep looking at me. They keep looking at me. Okay? Don't look at them and you won't know they're looking at you. Right? Okay. You've got to learn. Okay? You've got to learn. You cannot sit here and dwell on things because they'll make you bitter and angry and frustrated. Just because something somebody does frustrates you does not mean you have to sit there and stare at them and watch them do it every time. If I sit here and say, he clicks the pen. He clicks the pen. He clicks the pen. He clicks the pen. Now y'all do it, see? Okay? See? This is teaching me patience. And I'm only going to throw a songbook at you. And, but you know what? Sometimes, you ever notice, you probably don't notice, sometimes people do stuff during the service that bothers me. I have people get up, they think this is like exercise class, they have to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It drives me crazy. So you know what I do? I'm sitting there and I'm preaching away and this person gets up for the 14th time and I say, anyway, you know what God says? I'm not going to look at him. I'm not going to dwell on him. Okay? This light switch right here is turned off because the logo doesn't show up good when these lights are on. And it bothers me when all the light switches aren't the same direction. Are you like me? How many of you like me? When all lights, okay? So here's what I can do the whole service. Anyway, God says that you need to go and really serve the Lord. And what am I going to do? I'm going to be going, I won't focus on what I'm saying. Do you notice, you don't notice how many people are nice to you at work? You notice the one person who's mean to you? And you dwell on it. And dwell on it. And dwell on it. Because our minds are fallen and go towards the negative, and you've got to say, no, I'm going to think on good things. I could dwell on how that person treated me. You know what? My church loves me. You know what? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I got heaven as my home. You know what? God loves me. Boy, wasn't a great day at church on Sunday. I can't. Instead of thinking, why don't they like me? Why don't they like me? Why do they treat me like? Don't dwell. Choose to think on things. That's why we have something excessive compulsive, because they can't. Listen, stop. How do you do that? You stop. You'll find out your mind works just like the muscle gets stronger and stronger. As you choose what to think on, your mind gets stronger. Next time gets easier. And pretty soon you can say, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Because you're not. Why is there two songbooks in this thing? There's two songbooks. Why? And one of them's upside. It's upside down. One of those songbooks is upside down. I hate books upside down. It drives me crazy. I don't need to dwell on that. I'll try to look this. No, the lights were there. I gotta look. Okay, ready? Here's what drives me crazy. You ready? This is the Word of God. Okay? I love the Bible. I didn't have a Bible for the first 15 years of my life. Love the Bible. Before I was married, every night I went to bed with the Bible snuggled up to me. Every night I slept like this. That's how much I love the Bible. What an honor it is to the Bible. I know the history of the martyrs who got the Bible printed. And it drives me crazy when someone puts their Bible on the floor. I hate when people put a coffee cup on their Bible. Bothers me. By the way, Muslims don't think Christians believe the Bible is the Word of God because of the way they treat the Bible. Because their Qurans are very sacred and they hold them a certain way and never put anything on them and never put a book on top of them. And they're very careful about that. But you know what? I understand everybody doesn't think that way. So I don't walk around and I'm not the Bible on the floor Nazi. Now, I treat my Bible very carefully. I love my Bible. I don't put things on top of it. If I'm riding a car, I will put it another book underneath it, possibly if it's not gonna move. But I won't put it on the floor. I just don't do that. But I understand that's me. I'm not gonna sit here all day and dwell and judge people because they don't know how to treat their Bible. Okay, you follow? Amen. I will just do it with me. I will take the speck out of my own eye. But, and I'd rather you do it because it'll help with the Muslims, but I'm not on a, I'm not coming to every service and thinking about, no, I got three people whose marriages are in this situation. I got two people who've got this issue and three people who are brokenhearted and these people need jobs and this person needs comforted and this person's sick and this person's got something. And I'm not going to sit here and dwell on what my mind wants to go to. I'm going to say, I need to think about what people need. I need to show some people some love. I'm not dwelling on me and what I care about. And when you learn to get your mind off yourself and not dwell on things and think on good things and count your blessings, you do not get strange and obsessive and just notice and find fights all the time because everything's not exactly right. If you haven't realized it yet, on earth, everything's never right. It's always messed up. You do not dwell. Good illustration of this, Luke chapter 10. You sometimes think something's so important to you and everybody doesn't line up with it and you become very bitter at them and angry at them. I'll show you a good Bible illustration of this. And when you realize that everything's not about making you everything line up for you, you're not as contentious. This is Luke 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass that when he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore, says she, help me. Jesus answered, said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things, troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. What is a good part? Sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to the word. Listen, Martha had a kind of legitimate point. Martha's getting the food ready. And Mary, who should be helping her, just sitting there listening to Jesus. And Martha dwelt. Look it, I'm doing all this work and she's just sitting there. She's just sitting there. I'm cooking. I'm trying to do dishes. I'm trying to get it stacked up. I'm trying to do this. I'm doing this. And she's still just sitting. Listen, maybe Mary thought that was more important. But it's not. It's obviously more important to get the food ready for him. He's got to eat. Martha, you're cumbered and worried and angry about many things. She's learning the word of God, which is more important than your food. But she dwelt on things and got angry. She was a very stressed, high-strung, I want things this way person. And she was rebuked by Jesus. A few more things. One's going to be real quick. Number 10, this is number 10 on my list, talk to people. Matthew 18:15. Never be a person who talks about people, be a person who talks to people. If you have an issue with somebody, the Bible commands you to go to them directly. He should be doing this. She should be doing this. He shouldn't. Look, Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. It is not biblical to go talk about people. It's better to go talk to somebody. I've found so many times misunderstandings get fixed when I can just get two people together. They did this. They did this. They said this. I can't believe they did this. And I think that doesn't sound quite right. It's kind of outlandish. Sometimes relatives are apart for a decade, and you just get them together and say, he says that you abandoned him and never talked to him again for no reason whatsoever. Is that true? Can you tell him what you think? And this one says, you think I did that? I tried to call you, and you told me that you didn't want to talk to me again. Well, I didn't mean that. You did. Well, that's what you said. Well, I'm sorry. I was just angry. I didn't think you'd take it serious. Because what happened? They get reconciled because they talk to each other directly. You know how many things get solved if somebody just goes to the person and they realize they were thinking wrong? Talk to that person directly. That's Bible. That's what God says to do. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119. You know what? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. We already read this verse. I want to say, be patient. People need patience. You need patience. How many of you try your own patience sometimes? Raise your hand. Sometimes I say, shit, now you're driving me crazy. I'm talking to myself. You need to be patient. And 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, be patient to all men. Be patient. And then last thing I want to say, this one's so funny to me, but it's so good. Psalm 119 and 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 46. And this is and we're done here. Psalm 46. Love this psalm. It's beautiful. It says, God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed. That's a pretty big event. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, verse 7. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Listen, great peace of the living Allah, and nothing shall offend them. You ready? Last thing I want to say is, relax! It says, we will not be riled or stirred or upset, though the mountains are cast into the ocean. I mean, all of a sudden, the Cascades, they go over the Pacific Ocean. Then here comes the Rockies. It says, I'm not going to be moved. God's my refuge. Relax. Don't be so high strung about everything. But they said this about me. I don't know what to do. It drives me so crazy. Relax. All things work together for good to them who love God. Well, I just know they really think about me. And? Well, they think bad thoughts about me. And? Well, that's not true. And? Well, I'm not going to take it. Why? Because it's not right. Relax. Chill out. Everyone thinks they have to go in a massive protest at every injustice that happens to them. Relax. God's in control. Chill out. If you're serving the Lord, it's going to be okay. Amen. You know, this too shall pass. Every thing that is said about you, you don't have to answer. Oh, he thinks I'm a bum. He's wrong. You say, you can't. It's really easy to live like that. Oh, you think I'm ugly? Oh. Well, but they said that I'm wrong and off. Okay. Relax. God's in control. In a million years, you won't remember it. But they misunderstood everything and twisted everything. I know. Relax. Just pray about it. But they do this to drive me crazy, yeah? Don't let them win. Relax. It's okay. You say, yeah, I should relax. Yeah. There's a reason Lipitor is made more money than any drug in the history of the world. It's for high blood pressure. And everyone's relax. I got the candy. Relax. It's going to be fine. Light switch is over there. It's okay. Songbook's upside down. But it's upside down. Relax. Chill out. Can you breathe? Can you see? Do you have eyes and ears? Are you free? Are you going to heaven and saved? Does God still love you? Are you able? Are you in a wheelchair crippled up? Relax. Amen. Quit letting the devil make you just ruined because you're so stressed out because somebody doesn't like you and somebody said something and something went wrong and the job things, it's all tight and financially. Relax. Stop. So they're nasty. Okay, there's nasty people. We can take notes, share notes, probably the same people. There's nasty people out there. Relax. God will deal with them. You love them. But I just can't take it when someone goes and does this thing right. I can't take it. Learn to take it. And say, you know what? I'm not crippled. I'm not dying. I don't have cancer. I'm not blind. I'm going to heaven. God loves me. I'm not going to let some petty person make me just go, I can't take it. Relax. For God so loved you. Relax. It'll be okay. 30, 40 years, this world's gone. and you're just going to dwell forever in heaven. It's okay. Relax. I know there's scary things. I know you don't know what to do. Pray about it. Give it to God and make God your refuge. He'll fix it. But you got to chill. I wish the Bible said chill out. Because people are... Relax. Okay? Relax. And you'll get along a lot better because you're not just biting everybody's head off because you're so angry. Relax. Just relax. It's okay. God loves you. Don't return the evil for evil. Don't go to their level. Don't let them drag you there. You overcome evil with good. Don't let it be all about you. Serve and love people. And you'll get along fine. But it's not all about you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you. It gives us so many things here, Lord. Just nothing shall offend those who love thy law. Nothing. I pray that we be peaceful people. That we're not going to, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Lord, help us to be there. Help us not to be people who, it's all about us. Help us be sweet-spirited people who love and try to overcome and love everybody and take them where they are. Help us to relax and love people and try our best. But in the end, we're just going to be thankful in you and have a good day. Help us get along. If we've made some mistakes of not accepting people where they are and haven't been patient with people, Lord, if we haven't learned to be at peace within ourselves so we can be at peace with others, Lord, I pray we just learn to love the unlovable and be patient and just trust you and realize we can't control everything and just give it to you. And I pray you'd help us. Help us to live in the land of peace and in lives of peace. We pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closing, and the pianist